Okay, good morning, good tvach. Welcome back to our supposed to be bi-weekly shir. It seems like it's bi-annually at this point, but glad to be back here at Shaar HaTzedek, and hopefully we'll restart our and gain our momentum in terms of being more consistent going forward. B'siyat HaShemaya, B'li Neder. Today's learning is dedicated for the in the schus of a speedy return of the hostages and the success of our chayalim in Eretz Yisrael and the success for the entire nation in Eretz Yisrael and across the world. We appreciate that. And the learning in the Kol and out of the Kol this week in general is sponsored by the Kluger family in memory of Max Kluger, Barry Kluger, and Rabbi Schoenfeld. We have them in mind as we learn as well. So if you have the sheets in front of you, if you don't, there are more in the middle table, and there might be more on the peripheries also. I don't know, but there's one over there. So we're learning the Chubos Minchas Asher, as we had started months ago. And today I figured we would take some time to learn not particularly pertinent to anything going on in the current events, and not related to the Parsha, just something that's an interesting topic, which is a classic tshuva of Rabbi Asher Weiss and relevant to all of us halacha lemaisa, and that's the question of medicine on Shabbos. Not only medicine on Shabbos, but actually particularly vitamins on Shabbos. If you look in the first paragraph over here in the source sheet, so the Rabbi Asher begins with the following question. Adam Bari, a healthy person, a person who, Baruch Hashem, he doesn't have any ailments, he's not sick in any way whatsoever. We think of medicine usually as a healing process, refuah b'Shabbos, healing on Shabbos, is prohibited in most instances. Obviously, we're not talking about life-threatening situations, in which case it's not only permissible, but it's a mitzvah. It's always a mitzvah to take care of yourself, but it's a mitzvah, it's the most important mitzvah, potentially, to take care of oneself. So breaking Shabbos in such a situation is a tremendous mitzvah. We're talking about cases where a person is just feeling a little bit sick. Then there are these levels, and we're not going to get into them today in terms of how sick a person is, but in many situations, a person is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. But here we have a unique case, Adam Bari, someone who's regular, in his regular state, he's totally healthy. He's ragil akachas vitaminim, vitamins. So, but even though he's healthy, he takes every day vitamins. Again, I don't personally take vitamins, but if you take a multivitamin, it has a whole bunch of things, or you take zinc, or you take vitamin D, vitamin C, I don't know, what's hot these days? What's the hottest vitamins out there? Huh? Vitamin D is very hot. Invest now. Okay, vitamin D. So I take my vitamin D. What's the one for not getting sun? Someone like me. That's D? Okay, yeah, take that one, a lot of that one. So you're taking all these vitamins. L'chazik gufo. Why are you taking them? In order to strengthen his body. Ha'im mutar lo l'kachtam gam b'Shabbos. Is he allowed to take that medicine, that vitamin, I should say, on Shabbos as well? O shema yesh b'zeh gzeiras shchikas samimanim. Or would you say, there's a few typos here, it was quite early in the morning when I was typing this, I'm sorry, but are you allowed to take these pills, or is that considered shchikas samimanim? Is that considered gzeiras shchikas samimanim? It's within the gzeira derabanan of kimo b'shar truvas of all pills. We'll get to what that means in a second. So Rabbi Asher Weiss here references, in the next line he says it explicitly, that there is an iser derabanan, a rabbinic prohibition against taking pills on Shabbos. The truth is that there's no iser d'oraisa. So there's nothing wrong with taking medicine on Shabbos. What malacha is that? It's not one of the 39 that I learned about in the songs from, I don't know who wrote the songs. What's his name? Country Yossi has a song about 39 malachos. So I don't remember there taking pills as one of the malachos. But the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel Beis tells us that Chazal had a different prohibition in mind. It's not an iser d'oraisa, it's an iser d'rabbanan. The iser d'rabbanan is based on a logic, it's based on a svara as follows. What happens is a person, let's talk about the olden days for now. A person's medicine usually consisted of basically whatever, you know, herbs or other types of spices or ingredients ground up and mixed together, and that was a medicine. I mean, obviously some medicines are similar to that still nowadays. The whole process of making medicine is much different, generally speaking, but there are certain medicines that do have herbs or spices that are ground up and mixed together and made to heal people. So that's what a medicine was consisted of. So the Chazal understood that what's going to happen is as follows. A person is going to want to, they're going to have a headache. Okay, so they have a little bit of a headache. So they're going to take a mix of ginger and pepper, I don't know, whatever, and they're going to grind it up and mix it together to make a pill. Good. So now they know they're going to have a headache on Shabbos. They do it before Shabbos. That's fine. Nothing's wrong with that. You'll take the pill on Shabbos. What's wrong with that, right? Totally fine. However, what are we concerned about? The headache's going to be so bad. They're going to take the first pill, and they're going to realize, you know, I really need a second one of these old-school Tylenols. So what are they going to do? They're going to be so buhled. They're going to be so, caught up in their sickness and so shtared by feeling off that they're going to run and they're going to crush more pills in order to make some more medicine for them, crush some more of the spices, whatever, to make themselves more medicine. That's called shchikas samimanim. They're going to grind those spices, those herbs or whatever, and then they're going to make medicine out of it, take more of it on Shabbos. Now, taking the medicine wasn't a problem. What's going to happen is grinding that medicine is certainly an issue of tochin, which is a malacha on Shabbos. That one did make it to the songs. Grinding is asar on Shabbos, so we're not concerned about the medicine per se, inherently, but we're concerned what the medicine will lead to. The medicine will lead to making more medicine. Making medicine on Shabbos involves an isar daraisa of tochin, and that is a classic gezerah derabanan. It's a rabbinic injunction to say that lest you come to do some malacha, you shouldn't even do this, even though it's not, strictly speaking, asar midaraisa. Now, some would ask, I don't understand, every time I pour salt or pepper or any spice onto my food on Shabbos, in some cases, I pour onto regular cold food on Shabbos. Isn't every time I'm going to do that? Maybe I'll run out of pepper. I'm going to want to grind more pepper. Maybe I'll run out of, I don't know what else you grind, but I'll run out of garlic powder and I'll grind more. No, it doesn't make garlic powder. Okay, whatever. I'll run out of pepper. Let's think. Why do I have so many examples? I'm just making myself look silly. Okay, so I run out of pepper, so I'm going to grind more pepper. I'm going to make myself pepper to pour onto my food. So isn't that the same issue? A gezeira shchika salmana. Maybe I'm going to come to grind more pepper. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Simin Shin Chav Ches, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Or HaChaim, Simin Shin Chav Ches is the halachos of refuah. So there, the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's specifically by medicine that we have this concern that you're going to grind up more medicine. Why? Because when a person is eating, I've seen people buy a barbecue, I happen to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, but most people when they're eating, they maintain their cool. They hold on to their head. They're not so bahul. They're not so caught up in the eating process that they're going to forget what they're doing. But when a person's sick, so their head is only on their sickness. So if they don't feel well, they're going to run and they're going to grind up more medicine. A person's eating, they're still a mensch. Again, you could debate this when you see people in certain instances. I know that Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, he was a big darshan, a magid, who would go around the world speaking. He was a big Baal Musar. Big is an exaggeration. He was like 4'8". He wasn't physically big, but he was big in terms of his drushes. So one of the things that's so special about him is that his drushes, and they printed a lot of them. I'm blanking on the name of the sefer right now. I think it's called... maybe it's called Vihigarata, the series. So they print them in nice, colorful volumes, and it has a big picture of him smiling on the front. So Rabbi Yankel Galinsky had very good Divrei Torah, but additionally he had amazing stories, and even more so he had amazing jokes. He was a big, he was a very humorous guy. So one of the things that he said, I think I read this in his Haggadah, I'm not sure, he said that it's supposed to be that, we're taught when we're younger that the table is a shulchan. The shulchan is considered like a mizbeach. That when we, I think when we're kids, our parents tell us, don't sit on the table, it's like a mizbeach. So if the shulchan is supposed to be the mizbeach, that means that the person is a kohen, and the food is the karban. And every time a person eats, it's supposed to be, so something important to think about, that every time a person eats, it's a form of serving Hashem, and it's a form of being ola karban to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that's an important idea. But Rabbi Yankel Galinsky says, nowadays it's different. The table certainly is a mizbeach, but usually it's the person who's the carbon and the food is the kohen. Because the person is so given over to this food, they're so obsessed with filling their appetite, that it's like they're being shechted by their own barbecue. Okay, so if a person doesn't have that attitude, so they'll come to grind peppers or whatever, only if it's part of the medicine. But if it's just part of the food they're eating on Shabbos, we're not as concerned, and we don't have to be worried that he's going to relax on the laws of Hilchos Shabbos and Chas V'Shalom grind up some peppers. Okay, fine. So that's the background. That's the gzeiras shchikas samimanim. The idea that you can't take medicine on Shabbos lest you come to make more of that medicine on the day itself. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, if you look in the next paragraph, Amnam. Rav Shlomo Kluger, Besifro Sefer Achayim. So Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a Sefer Achayim, it's called. Truth is, he wrote, it's hard, I don't know if we have an exact count on how many Sfarim. He was a prolific author. They say he wrote the amount of Sfarim as the gematria of his name. If you look in there, there's a kuf, there's a resh, and there's a shin. So it's already a pretty good start for him. But this is one of the svarim that he has, but I don't think it's one of the more popular ones, but it's a sefer that he has, and he has comments on the halachas of refuah b'Shabbos. So there he says that there's a margla b'fumei d'inchi, there's an idea that people are accustomed to saying over in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, that when a person starts the refuah, they start the medicine from before Shabbos, to take a pill on Shabbos is problematic. But if you're already taking the pill from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Shabbos, if it's a continuous refuah and you've been doing it since the weekday earlier on, so then it's not a problem to continue that regimen going into Shabbos as well. And here, Rav Asher Weiss quotes from the Sefer that the reason is, and we'll come back to this idea soon, is that if a person began that refuah, that regiment on a weekday, and he's going to stop in the middle of the prescription, so then what's going to happen? It's going to hold back his refuah. His medication is not going to be fully effective. It's not going to be as impactful because he took a break in the middle. Here he quotes a raya, a proof, from the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says that if a person has a bandage on, ratiya is like a sort of like a plaster type of a, I don't know, for us, think of like a, you know, a neosporin and a bandage, something like that. And it's on from before Shabbos, on from Wednesday, whatever. On Shabbos, if the bandage slid up or slid down or slid to the side, you can adjust it. You can put it back into its place. So Rav Shlomo Kluger assumes from there that you see, oh, because it was on from before Shabbos, you can adjust it on Shabbos. We're not concerned about the gezerah of Shrika Samanim. Now, there was room to distinguish between the different things. The Ratiya Shagabi Maka doesn't involve any taking of pills. It just involves adjusting. That's less significant than taking a pill. It doesn't involve grinding up more things and gets you caught up in that. But that's what he assumes is a proof for his point. Additionally, the other argument that Rav Shlomo Kluger makes that Rav Asher Weiss doesn't quote right here is that if a person is taking this pill every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when it comes to Shabbos, there's no real reason to assume that he's going to run out of pills on Shabbos and then have to... He knows his schedule. He knows exactly what he's taking, when he's taking it. I don't know. Imagine, I know when my wife is a trained pharmacist. I say trained because she doesn't have a job, but she's a trained pharmacist. So she used to, one of the things that she had to do in pharmacy school, she went to pharmacy school. Anyone here from Nebraska? Really? Usually when I give a shiur, someone's from Nebraska. No, I'm joking, no one's ever from Nebraska. She went to school in Creighton in Omaha, Nebraska for a pharmacy. So so she had, one of her assignments was that she had what are those called? Those pill boxes that have the days of the week on them. That's what it was. That's what I was trying to think of. So those pill boxes with the days of the week on them. So one of her assignments was that she had to like prepare for a fake patient all the days of the week with the different combinations of medicine. It's a serious, it sounds juvenile, sounds like a kid's product, but it's very serious. Mixing the wrong medicines can be detrimental, and just maintaining organization is like more than half of the battle, especially for a person who's elderly and can't keep track for themselves or otherwise incapacitated. So she was tasked with that assignment, I remember. So a person who has all their pills laid out for the week, they know they're taking this antibiotic for 5 days, for 10 days. They know they're taking this medicine daily, always. They're not going to run out on Shabbos and then think, oh no, I have to quickly get more into my system. They know exactly how much they need. They're probably prepared from before Shabbos. It's very mistaber. It makes a lot of sense that a person shouldn't be concerned that they're going to have shrika saman and they're going to come to make more medicine on Shabbos because they're going to be prepared from beforehand. Even though that's what Rav Asher Weiss here quotes from Rav Shlomo Kluger, but some suggest, Rav Asher quotes in the next paragraph you have from the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, some suggest that this is limited to a very specific case, only in a case where the medicine is truly needed to be taken daily. You need to take it every single day, day in, day out. If you miss, you're going to be ruined. The refuah, the medication is not going to work. It's not going to be impactful. It's not going to be effective if you don't take it every day. If you miss a day, then we can hear the svara that Rav Shlomo Kluger says that you could still take it on Shabbos. But if it's something which is, it doesn't really matter so much. It's inconsequential. If a person misses a day, or if they take it before, oftentimes this whole question is solved. It depends on the time of the year sometimes, but the whole question can be solved if you take it Friday and Matzei Shabbos, right? You can always sort of sandwich Shabbos and you could skip a 24-hour period because you're still taking it the 25th hour and the first hour. So it's not such a horrible thing usually. But in the rare cases that it is, if it doesn't impact the healing process, then it shouldn't be allowed simply because a person has been taking it consistently. Here, Rav Asher Weiss suggests what's going to carry the day for him. If you look in the next paragraph that starts, V'hanira ikir bezeh, says Rav Asher, the main svara, the main logic over here to be lenient about medicine that's being taken consistently, V'hanira ikir bezeh, now you have a bold over here. Devadai lonis kavnu chazal ligzor choli masmid al ha'adam. It can't be that Chazal, the rabbis in the Gemara, wanted to make sure that everyone was always sick. It can't be that they set up a system by which a person could never heal, that a person could never get better. It had to be that there was a solution, a way out, even if it included that it would their sickness would last more than a week if they didn't take their medicine. So it can't be they were goes there choli masmer ala adam shol yuchal limso mazor makaso af sheino ela mechash ba'alma. It can't be that there was no way out for such a person. So if a person is so sick that they need to take a medicine daily and daily includes Saturday, Shabbos. So it can't be that Chazal didn't have a solution for that. It must be that Chazal didn't allow you to take a medicine when it's not consistent, when it's not being taken every single day. But if something which is necessary to take 8 days in a row, it has to be that it's allowed to be taken on Shabbos. There are other proofs from the Gemara and elsewhere, but we'll leave them for now. There's an additional point to consider over here. Nowadays, I think everyone's probably already thinking this, but imagine a person took a bunch of Tylenol because they had a headache, and then they're like, the headache is killing me, and it came back. So you want to run to take more Tylenol, but you're out of Tylenol. So what would everyone here do? You don't have any Advil, so you would crush up whatever ingredients are in Tylenol and make yourself a pill, correct? No, right? So this whole gzeira of shchikas ha'manim, that, we're going to grind up pills on Shabbat, it doesn't exist. No one does that nowadays. It's not a thing. No one grinds their own pills, except if you're married to a pharmacist. Obviously, my wife does that sometimes. But most people don't grind their own pills. It doesn't make any sense at all. Additionally, it wouldn't even work. We don't take medicine that's just ground up things. We take medicine that's ground up and then cooked and then put into a Petri dish or a Bunsen burner, whatever medical instruments people use in the lab, and they make a medicine out of that. It's not made out of a bunch of ground up things. So first of all, no one does this on their own. And second of all, even if they did it on their own, it takes more than one step. It's not just grinding. You have to grind, you have to cook, you have to dry out, you have to distill, you have to do a whole bunch of things in order to make medicine. So the whole logic of the Gezeira, I'm sorry? Okay, also, opening bottles is a whole other issue. If you let it open bottles on Shabbos, good. So that's a suggestion that Ketzos HaShulchan, Rabbi Avram Chaim Noah, we colloquially refer to as the Grach Noah, so he himself suggested this possibility that, times have changed. Modern Orthodoxy, nowadays, we don't live like that. We don't grind our own medicine. So the whole Gzeira should go away. He himself is not even willing to rely on this. Most of the posts can reject that out of hand because we assume, generally speaking, again, there are exceptions, very, very few and far between, and also very much disputed amongst the Achronim and the Rishonim. But we assume, by and large, that when a Gezeira was made however many years ago, it applies across the board. First of all, even if the logic didn't apply at the time, we assume a concept of low plug. My parents taught me when I was younger that you're not allowed to cross the street. I wasn't allowed to cross the street. I was different than the other kids till I was like 18. But most people, you're not allowed to cross the street till you're what? 10? 11? I don't know. That's the normal age. Whatever. So 10, 11, 12. Fine. So what about if there's no cars coming though? So you'll tell your kid you can't cross the street and then there are no cars coming, so then they can cross the street. That ruins the whole point. The whole point is you can't cross the street because you're not really able to discern when cars are coming, when cars are not coming. So when Chazal make gezeiras and say you can't do X lest it lead to Y, even if a person thinks I'm bigger than that, I'm not going to cross when there are cars coming. Rachman al-Latzlan, if a kid makes the wrong choice, Rachman al-Latzlan, we know the consequences. So it's low plug Rabbanan. They always set the rules as a blanket rule. There's no exceptions. It goes across the board, even if you think the reasoning shouldn't apply. Even big Tanayim, big Amorayim made mistakes on this. They say in the Gemara, in Maseches Shabbos, I think it's Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, that the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that you're not allowed to learn on Shabbos next to a light, a lamp. Not an electric light, that's a different discussion. Shemiyata, exactly. So you're not allowed to learn next to a lamp, a fire that's burning. Because why? Because you're going to be learning the sugya, and you're going to be so into the sugya, you're going to tip the light in order to see it a little bit better. And by tipping the light, you're accomplishing, let's just say for now, you're accomplishing a havara, you're making the light burn brighter. Maybe it's kiboy. But so you're accomplishing some malacha when you do that. So Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol said, yeah, that's the reason for the halacha, but I'm Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. I know that reasoning. I'm a big rabbi. I'm a big Talmud Chacham. So I'm not going to violate that issue. I'll learn, and I won't tip the lamp. I won't violate the issue. So the Gemara says that he learned on Friday night, and he couldn't see the Gemara so well. Well, they didn't have Gemara yet, but he couldn't see whatever Sefer, I guess, Zohar. I don't know. So they couldn't see whatever he was learning. So he tipped the lamp a little bit, and Nebuch, he violated Shabbos on a deraisa level, and he wrote down that when the Beis Hamikdash comes, I'm going to have to bring a karban chatas, hashmena. I'm going to have to bring a fat karban chatas to make up for my mistakes. So everyone is prone to making these mistakes. So gezeira is across the board, so we don't assume svaras like this usually. Additionally, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Orach Chaim Neges Moshe, Chel Gimel, Simen Nun Gimel, he writes that the same thing is true, even though it's obviously true that we don't just grind, we also have to bake, and we have to dry out, and we have to distill, and we have to do all of these things in order to make a medicine, but we're concerned you'll do all of those things. And Rav Asher Weiss points out, even if you're not going to do all of those things, we're concerned that you'll start the process, even if you don't finish the process. You're not going to cook it, you're not going to carry it outside, you're not going to distill it, you're not going to dry it out. You're not going to do all the things that make a medicine, but you'll do some of them. If you do some of them, you're going to be over on the Isser Del Reisa, and therefore you have an issue. Usher discusses this. You look in the next paragraph right before the letter Beis. here from Shlomo Kluger. So if you look at the end of that paragraph, so he doesn't like this Ktzos HaShulchan, this Reb Chaim Noah, for the reasons Reb Moshe Feinstein says, and for the reasons that we mentioned before, that you can't just do away with a Gezeirah Derabanan. And so he says that's not really the reason we make it. However, we had the line from Shlomo Kluger earlier that as long as a person is taking a medicine consistently, and it will be detrimental to his healing process if he doesn't take it, if he abstains from that medicine for one day during that period. So because of that, Rav Asher Weiss says there's room to be lenient about medicines that are taken over a consistent basis. This may be applicable to antibiotics, although, like I said before, it is true that in many cases a person is able to time it so they can take the antibiotics before Shabbos and after Shabbos and not miss any any day according to the doctor. There are medicines you have to take twice a day. That may be more difficult. Sometimes medicines don't work like that. You take methylprednisone, like a steroid pack, like a six-day steroid pack. So they tell you take two in this hour, and then two in this hour, and then two in this hour. But every doctor will tell you, although I don't know if there are doctors in the room.
No, but I'm from Nebraska.
Most doctors will tell you. I don't want to speak for every doctor, but every doctor that I've heard from will tell you, you could group those steroids together. You don't need to take them every 2 hours. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have to take them all together. So you'll take them before Shabbos or after Shabbos. You'll make it to work. But there are some medicines you do have to time very carefully.
About 3 a.m.?
About showering, you're asking?
No.
That's usually what people want to know.
It's
either showering or smoking. I don't know why you ask about anything else in 3 days.
So
you have the same issue. Correct. You won't be able to time it. Yes, you'll have to use these halachas. Correct.
In this case of pills, just pills also include liquid medicines?
It would also include liquid medicines, yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, the same way that it doesn't apply directly to us to make pills, but there's a way to make liquid medicines as well. Yeah. Okay, look in the bays over here, the next section in Rav Asher Weiss, we're getting closer to vitamins. Ach lefize ba'adam bari, a healthy person, alokeach vitamins, rak lechazik gufo. He's only taking the vitamins in order to strengthen himself. He doesn't go out into the sun enough, so he needs to take vitamin D in order to get a better tan. How does it work? That's how it works? Okay, he wants to get a better tan, so he takes vitamin D. Lechora ein lahatir. So says Rav Asher Weiss, that's not enough to be makel. You can't be makel on that. What did we say before? What's the reason if you're on an 8-day prescription, a 9-day prescription, a 10-day prescription, antibiotics or something, you have to take it every single day? If you miss, you're not going to get better, correct? Or you might not get better. Of course, you could get better, but you might not get better. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get better if you miss. So in such a case, so we said, okay, so you take the consistency, you have to take it on Shabbos as well. Vitamins? His tan won't be as good if he misses Shabbos, okay. But if you take zinc every day and you miss one day, it's not such a big deal. It's not so bad if you miss one day. So that's not really a leniency that would apply to taking vitamins. A person takes a multivitamin every day. It strengthens him over time. It's a collective effect of taking the vitamins day in, day out. You miss a day here and there, it's not the biggest deal in the world. So lechora, says Rav Asher Weiss, we don't have reason to be makel, to be lenient about vitamins. However, he says that it seems to be, potentially, a machlokas haposkim, whether vitamins should be permissible on Shabbos. If you look in the next lines in this paragraph, starting with the bold, he says it's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Abraham. Dehine b'Shulchan Aruch, you see that? Simen shin chav ches sif lamed zayin, kasav. Kol she'ino meichel mashke, something which is not food or drink, meichel mashke briyim, it's not a food that we regularly eat. A person wants to eat chicken soup on Shabbos, even though chicken soup we know has magical healing powers. It's not usher. That's not healing. That's not refuah of a Shabbos. It's a normal meichel briyim. That's something that people eat on Shabbos and during the week. It's totally fine. But something which is not regular meichel mashke briyim, asa la ochlo ulishtoso lerefuah, you can't eat it and drink it for healing purposes on Shabbos. V'dafka misha yesh, I don't know if this is true, but I just thought of it. Something. They make these, I think they sell them for $1 million in the store, these disgusting like ginger shots. They're technically made of food, but I don't think anyone enjoys them, right? I think they're disgusting. Yeah, they're disgusting. But you drink them, I don't know, to get a boost of immunity or something. I don't know. Each one probably has a different occult reason to take it. But that's not a Michael Bream. That's not food. It's not something normal to eat or drink. And a person's taking it for a fool of purposes, if that's the case. I don't know if I'm talking about the right idea here in terms of these shots. But if that were the case, then that would be problematic. Even though it has food in it, but nobody would want to drink that on a normal basis. Okay. V'dafka misha yesh lo mechesh ba'ama v'hu holich ha'mischazik v'hu holich kibari. Avalim ein lo shum mechesh, it's mutter. So what comes out, says Rabbi Asher Weiss, from the lines of the Shulchan Aruch that we just read, is that Chachamim, the Chazal, only made this gzera of shchika samanim, of taking medicine, in a case when the person has some sickness that he's trying to cure, trying to heal. If the person is totally healthy and they're just eating something that happens to have healing powers but has nothing to do with healing them because they're totally healthy, so that's totally permissible on Shabbos. What's wrong with that? They're not healing. Think about it. The Isser is healing oneself, not having foods that heal, not consuming foods that have healing powers. So says the Shulchan Aruch, as long as the person's healthy and he's just eating regular food, it's not a problem. The Magen Avraham, he points out, that sounds like he disagrees, because the Magen Avraham quotes what the Torah writes, which is that as long as a person is shosa oso l'reiva olitz amo mutter, as long as the person is eating it out of hunger or drinking it out of thirst, but if he's drinking it or eating it in a way that's supposed to act as a sort of a betterment of his physical comportment, a betterment of his health, so that's going to be a problem even if the person is technically speaking healthy. So this comes and touches on the point of vitamins. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Tshuva that we mentioned before, distinguishes that there are two types, I guess, of vitamins, or maybe two types of ways people take vitamins. Sometimes people take vitamins to strengthen something that's weak about them. I don't know a good example, maybe someone here does, but if someone has something that's particularly weak, I have one extreme example, an anemic, right, who's iron deficient. Is that the correct application of terms?
So, glucosamine for their joints.
Okay, and they feel a difference, let's say, from that. So again, taking vitamin D, taking vitamin C, that's, you know, daily multivitamins. Taking a multivitamin is a daily thing that a person just takes to maintain a healthy balance. They're not going to eat enough foods, they're supplementing, fine. But someone who's anemic or someone who is zinc deficient, I don't know, they take those pills in order to build up something which is weak within them, or someone who has a certain pain and a certain vitamin helps them with that pain, whatever the case might be, that would be a problem, says Ramesha, on Shabbos, potentially. Of taking medicine on Shabbos, because you are healing. You're healing yourself on Shabbos. However, in a case where you're taking vitamins that aren't supposed to add the strength, but they keep you at your equilibrium. They help you supplement what you're missing, but they're not filling in any gaps in the sense of healing you. They're filling in gaps in the sense that you're keeping yourself normal. You're keeping yourself healthy. So that's not going to be a problem, says Rav Moshe, on Shabbos. Rav Moshe discusses this, and he even quotes our Magen Avraham, and he thinks that even the Magen Avraham will agree about that point. Rabbi Ribiat, in his Sefer 39 Malachos, the famous Hilchos Shabbos Sefer in English, I forget who this was, maybe it was Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, I forget, but he made a comment during COVID that everyone was giving shirim on Zoom during COVID, so you saw all the rabbis' bookcases at home. So he said he was like paying attention to all the Rabbanim who are giving Zoom classes, and he noticed that the one consistent thing is that everyone has the 39 Malachos on their shelf behind them. Mm-hmm. Everyone had different Svarim, but one thing they all had in common was everyone had the 39 Malachos. So in volume 2 of that Sefer, Rabbi Ribiat assumes, based on Rabbi Moshe's Psak, that prophylactic medications, so things which are preventative by nature, they're just there to prevent some oncoming, impending, not disease, but, you know, sickness or something, or discomfort, that would not be a problem on Shabbos. According to that, antacid or heartburn pills that are preventative might be permitted. That's not so simple. It's not so simple, but that's one approach in the poskim. Another tzad lahakel, another potential reason to be lenient over here, is very interesting, in my opinion. I have a close friend, Rabbi Akiva Willig, who's a rav in Woodmere. So when I'm when I was in Woodmere to visit my parents and my in-laws, that's where I would daven always. I used to give shirim there in the summer. So he has a very nice a WhatsApp group for his shul that's a halacha shailas that he answers all the time. So I know multiple times over the course of the last 5 years, he's gotten this question about vitamins and other pills on Shabbos. So in that context, he once quoted from his father of Mordechai Willig, Rosh Yeshiva at YU, who pointed out that much of the medical community, and Rabbi Willig happens to be of this opinion as well, assume that most vitamins are really ineffective. They may have some benefits, but they're not super effective. They don't have real healing powers. I think they said with the exception of vitamin D. But vitamin D is not really a vitamin, it's a hormone or something. Whatever, I don't really understand the things over here. But vitamin D is different. But generally speaking, the vitamins are, they work, they don't work. It's not 100% clear that they have such an impact on people who take them. So because of that, maybe you would suggest the following. It's not medicine. It's not medicine. It's like drinking orange juice. What's the or orange juice, whichever one you drink. It's like drinking orange juice. What's the difference? It's taking vitamins. What does that mean? It's meaningless. Exactly. So says Rav Willig, no, that's not the answer. Why not? Because as long as the person who's taking them thinks they're effective, then what are we concerned about in theory, not in practice? What are we concerned about? They're going to grind up and make more of them, right? So it doesn't matter that Alpi MS, objectively speaking, the perfect doctor Plato imagined that's watching over all of us, so he's laughing at us for taking vitamins. That might be true, but I think it works. So I'm concerned. If I think it works, I'm going to go ahead and grind up more so I have the same issue as everyone else. So it's a nice idea to be lenient based on that svara, but it doesn't really work, even according to Rav Willig himself, on that point. Okay. If you look in letter Gimel over here, so we'll keep reading a little bit. Uvekadurim shem tachlif lemaichal masuyam. Sometimes you have pills which are supplements for specific foods. There's a fish oil pill that, you know, there's a liver pill, foods that a person doesn't want to eat because whatever, they smell bad, they taste bad, but they have certain health benefits. So they want to take these pills. So he says sesame. I don't know about the sesame pill, but there's a sesame pill also. I'm sorry? Garlic pill, yeah, okay. So a person could basically just take pills their whole life and not eat any of these foods. So that's a replacement for certain foods. Kadurim shem tachlif, replacement, l'maychal masuyim, for certain foods. Kegon, kadurim sheyesh bem tamtzis shum, like I said, sesame. Mistaber, oh, shum is garlic, there you go, sorry, yeah, I don't know, yeah, shum is sesame, right? So, sumsum, okay, garlic, good. Mistaber tfei lahakel. Said Rav Asher, you could be much more lenient about vitamins that are really just supplements for foods because it's not a medicine at all. It's just food that you don't want to eat, but it's not a problem. Says Rav Asher, still not 100% clear that the Magen Avraham would say that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch would tell you you're just eating food. What's the big deal? You're healthy. You just want to have garlic in your system. You would just want to have liver in your system. You just want to have fish oil in your system. Fine. So you'll take those pills. Not a big deal. The Magen Avraham would say, no, you're taking it for betterment of your health. You can't call it healing because you're not sick, but it's betterment of your health. So the Magen Avraham should say it's an issue. So Rav Asher Weiss says maybe that's a problem according to him. It's a suffix. And the postgame says Rav Asher, it's not 100% clear. He then quotes a very fascinating thing that he saw quoted from Steif in the Berah Moshe, Deborah Schiener, who said, this is fascinating, that nowadays, again, nobody has to, again, there are doctors in the room and they shouldn't, I'm not asking for advice on this, I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is that every day when I wake up, I take a whole bunch of Advil. Every day when I wake up. You know why? Because I've experienced every day for the past 31 years and something hurts. Always. Usually early on. So I take Advil every morning. I know it's not good for my liver. It's not good for this. Not good for you. Okay, I know. Some people don't take, they're not taking Advil, they're taking aspirin, they're taking a Tylenol. Plenty of people take it every day, whether they do it like me on an empty stomach every morning or whether they do it in the middle of the day when they have a headache. But people take Advil or Tylenol every single day for long stretches of their life. So says the Ber Moshe in the name of Reb Steif that maybe the whole idea doesn't exist anymore. This is so fascinating. Maybe Tylenol and Advil are considered Michael Brian. They're considered part of our diet. Meaning a person has for breakfast a bagel and the cream cheese and Tylenol. That's their breakfast. Sometimes they even put it on the sandwich. It's normal. That's how people eat nowadays. It's an unbelievable suggestion. So Rav Asher Weiss says that's very interesting, but come on. Just because we're so affluent that we take medicine all the time, just because we're so sensitive and what's the word I'm looking for? No, not spoiled. Privileged, but no, I'm looking for something more like having to do with the fact that we're very... Yeah, closer to that. Anyways, we're always not feeling well, so we're very weak. We're very weak, so we're always taking medicine. So therefore, the whole gzeira of Chazal goes away. Therefore, the whole, it's not medicine. It's still medicine. We overtake medicine, but it's still medicine. So he says, that's not something to rely on, but a very interesting suggestion nonetheless. Either way, if you look in the line that stands alone over here, mu kol makom, leinian vitamins, nira, dekevin shemei etzem yitzuram, mu adim him gam labriyim, nitias libi lahakel. So says Rav Asher, my heart tells me that we should be makel about vitamins because the whole concept of vitamins is made for healthy people, just to sustain, just to maintain the regular status. So there's no reason to be a machmir, he thinks, ultimately, on vitamins. He says that he's leaning towards that at this stage in the tshuva. Rabbi Bodner, who wrote a few English halachas for him, one on Hilchos Brachos, one that I'm forgetting now. Did he write the one on halachos of other people's money? I forget. Yeah, he wrote that one? Okay, that one. And then he also has one called halachos of refuah on Shabbos, which is about halachos of refuah on Shabbos. He doesn't have very creative titles. Halachos of other people's money, halachos of refuah on Shabbos, halachos of brachos. Okay, so Rabbi Bodner writes there, he quotes this tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, he goes like him, but he does add what we said before, that someone who's anemic, someone who's iron deficient, if they would want to take those iron supplements on Shabbos, that would be problematic because it's curing some chisaron, some lacking in the person. You could take the supplements before Shabbos and after Shabbos to accomplish the same results, but taking them on Shabbos may be problematic for that very reason. The other thing that he notes is that sometimes people feel a cold coming on. As they feel a cold coming on, so my Rebbe taught me, when you feel a cold coming on, you drink a little schnapps. Rav Shechter Shlita always says that the schnapps helps with an oncoming cold. Yeah, right. So he told me that after I was 21, by the way, just to be clear for the recording. Yeah, yeah. So you take a little schnapps and it'll cure the cold. So that's why I couldn't come the last few weeks. It wasn't that I was sick. I was so hungover from trying to beat the sickness and I couldn't make it to this year. So that's what I was taught by my Rebbe. But the other people assume they're probably wrong. My Rebbe's the Gadol Dor. But they say that vitamin C or zinc, things like that, can help an oncoming cold, can help keep it in abeyance and hold it from becoming arrest the growth of the cold virus. So that would be problematic on Shabbos, right? Bodner points out. Because even though that same vitamin, the vitamin C, the zinc, is just a vitamin, it's just a supplement, it's just Michael Bream during a regular Shabbos, but if you feel a cold coming on, why are you taking it? In order to stop or to heal or to prevent that cold from growing, and therefore it's going to be an issue of refuah of a Shabbos. One thing to point out, I'm sorry?
So can you not have
but schnapps is a Michael Bream, so it would be the question of the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. It would be the question of the Magen Avraham, yeah. The Rav Shechter, I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, I'm just assuming and thinking that based on things I know from Rav Shechter in the past, Rav Shechter might be lenient on such a thing, like taking a vitamin at the onset of a cold. I'm not certain about this, you have to ask, I don't know if this is true, but it's possible for the following reason. Many times Rav Shechter has been lenient, even if a person is not yet a chol she'ein bo sakana. If a person is a chol she'ein bo sakana, meaning they're sick enough that they're stuck in bed, they're significantly... held back in terms of their performance of their regular activities on Shabbos, so then they're allowed to take the medicine to help with that issue. So if a person has a headache, it's called a mechesh ba'alma. We live with headaches all the time. We live with headaches all the time, especially when your kids are younger. So you have a headache, so you'll get through the day. But what if you have a migraine? What if you have a flu-like symptoms that you're in your bed, so you have a fever and you have a headache and you're achy? That's not just a mechesh ba'alma. That's chol she'ein bo sakana. You're not, rachmanot zlan, scared that you're going to go to the hospital, that you're going to chas v'shalom be close to death. It's not sakanas nefashos, but it's a chol she'ein bo sakana. You are sick. You're debilitated. You're not able to take care of yourself properly and do your regular functions. So in such a case, we do allow you to take medicine to heal that sickness. So Rav Shechter is obviously making on that. That's the halacha. But I've heard Rav Shechter in the past say that preventing one from becoming a chol she'ein bo sakana is also considered a chol she'ein bo sakana. So if a person feels these symptoms coming on, to be, to take something preventative and to keep it, to stay that sickness is often permissible. Again, that's not a psak halacha, I'm taking and applying, but it could be that people like Rav Shechter, Rav Shechter himself, might be makel on such a situation. In Os Dalid, you have at the bottom of page number 2, so Rav Asher now talks about a classic, something that pill that's become classic. I never personally never experienced it, but these Som Kal pills, taking these these pills that have a little caffeine, a little bit of Tylenol, they have a mix of all the good stuff, and you take it right before a fast day, and going to the fast day, again, they're usually, the good ones are slow time release. They come, they inject your body with those nutrients and other ingredients over the course of time, as opposed to right at the outset, because otherwise it won't last you all that long. So those Tzom Kal pills, those fasting pills, are they permissible to take on Shabbos? Why would you take it on Shabbos? Because Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday. Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, so you want to take by Mincha or by right before Ma'ariv on Shabbos, you want to take a Tzom Kal pill so that it'll last throughout Tisha B'Av, and you'll be able to fast a little bit better. Is that permissible to do? So Rav Asher says there are two issues to deal with over here, obviously.
Preparing for
Hachana, very good preparation, and the one we've been talking about until now, which is taking medicine on Shabbos. So are those things problematic? So Rabbi Shavai says those are the two things we need to talk about, but I'm going to tell you that we can be lenient. He gives away the ending over here. We're going to be lenient on both of those things. First of all, he says, the only issue is very interesting. The only issue of Hachana, you have it in writing over here, the only issue of Hachana is when a person is preparing to do something after Shabbos. They're preparing in order to do an action after Shabbos. Here, you're not preparing to do an action after Shabbos. What are you preparing to do? Not inaction, right? So preparing to do something is a problem of hachana. Preparing to not do something is not hachana. You're not starting some action that's going to take place after Shabbos. Additionally, the Isra of Hachana is to perform, we assume, an action that's not needed on Shabbos itself, because it's some unnecessary burden. It's not necessary on Shabbos, some unnecessary burden. So for example, to pack your bags for a flight that's taking place tomorrow on Shabbos, you're doing something on Shabbos to do something after Shabbos. It's a burden that should be taking place on Motzei Shabbos or Sunday, and you're doing it on Shabbos itself. That's problematic. However, if you have a case in which your only opportunity to do this thing is on Shabbos itself, that's not hachana. That's just, it's the time that you have to do it. One example, there are other reasons as well, but one example, if a person has the ketchup bottle out on the table, or the challah is out on the table, you don't want it to get stale. You don't want the ketchup to go bad. The milk is out from breakfast on Shabbos morning from your kids. You don't want it to go and rot on the table, so you put it back in the fridge. Whoa, hachana, you're not going to use the milk till tomorrow. So aren't you preparing for Sunday by putting the milk back in the fridge? No, you're saving the milk for right now. If you don't do it now, it's going to spoil. Right? It's not a chana for tomorrow. It's just taking care of your situation and now. People talk about this. I don't know if they're right, but it may be about making their bed on Shabbos morning. It's not making it for after Shabbos. You're making it in order that your house should look nice during the day. So that's a reason to be makel in terms of a chana. Here, this tzom kalpil, when are you going to take it if you don't take it today? You can't take it on the fast day. That's the whole point. So if you take it on Shabbos, that's not called hachana. That's not called hachana. What about the issue of refuah? So here, Rabbi Asher Weiss says as follows. Look in the next paragraph. Ulgabe chashash shchikas ammanim nira lahakel. You can be mekel. You can be lenient about the issue of refuah for these tzom kal pills as well. The af for vitamins we already mekel. He says kal v'chomer in the bold. L'mashalo lochem klal etzorach b'yuti. Ela lahakel alin yanim misuyamim. So he says, all the more so, vitamins which are, even if they're not healing some sickness, they have to do with refuah. You're trying to maintain health when you take vitamins. When you take, what are we talking about, some kal pills, you're not trying to heal anything deficient in the person. It happens to be in the form of a pill, but it's not medicine. There's nothing medicinal about this. There's no brios. There's no health involved in what you're talking about. He gives other examples. Kigon kaduri shena, sleeping pills. Sleeping pills are the same idea. You're not healing anything. It's a pill form, but you're not healing anything. You're not doing any refuah on Shabbos. Ukadurim lahakala betzom, right? These fasting pills. Ugalulos lemnias hiron, birth control pills. Birth control pills are the same thing. They're not healing something. They're not involved with brius. They're not involved with healing a person who's lacking something. Nira says, Rabbi Asher Weiss, Diyesh lahakel, that you can be lenient on all of those things. Uchidemuchach mikama alachas mifurashas b'shulchan aruch. He gives us examples. Umikol zechazina da ha'amadas tchunos haguf. Upe'ulosav al-mechonam haroi eno bechla refuah. This is the rule that Rabbi Asher Weiss establishes, that as long as you're not healing or changing or adding or strengthening anything, but you're just maintaining status quo, you're just keeping the regular function of your body, that's not a problem of refuah at all. And because of that, he says that some kal pills are not a problem. He's also saying that these, you know, sleeping pills of birth control, we'll come back to that in a second, b'li neder mitzvah shem. One other point about the fasting pills is that, we said before, they're often slow release, time release pills. So there's room to argue that they're not even, the healing's not even taking place, the healing, quote unquote, the healing, the effect of the pill is not even taking place on Shabbos. You take it on Shabbos, but it doesn't start working until after Shabbos. So if the effect doesn't set in until after Shabbos, that's another reason to be mekel potentially as well. The Shmir Shabbos Kalasa tells us, you've heard this a million times, that when you're taking that tzom kal pill, when you're eating a whole bunch of food on Shabbos afternoon to prepare for Tisha B'Av, when you're taking a nap in order to prepare for a Shavuos on Matzei Shabbos, whatever the case might be, you shouldn't say out loud, I'm doing this for tomorrow. You shouldn't say, Hineni Muchen Umezuman, to take my nap in order that I should stay up all night and drink coffee and eat cake in the basement. I mean, sorry, there are wives here. I learn all night on Shavuos. You shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, say that, because that gives it away. And you're saying, oh, it's Hachana, I'm preparing for after. No, you're just taking a nap. You're just eating a lot on Shabbos because you're obsessed with food, whatever. You don't have to make an excuse. We eat enough on Shabbos as it is. We don't need excuses. There are numerous other pills and medicines, we'll stop in a minute, that relate to this rule that Rabbi Asher Weiss has suggested. First of all, like he said himself, sleeping pills. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Shulchan Shlomo is quoted as being machmir on sleeping pills. However, he does say that if the inability to sleep will lead a person to become sick, because after a sleepless night, they're going to come down with a cold, they're going to come down with a post-nasal drip or something, they're going to have terrible headaches and migraine all day, so taking a sleeping pill is preventative of becoming a cholashim bo sakana. So in such a case, he would be makel. I personally heard that psak from Rav Shechter as well in the past, which relates to what I quoted from before, that if a person is going to lose. I remember I was on Instagram like Kolo so many years ago, and I couldn't. I don't think I was jet lag or something, but I was, you know, coming down with something. I just wasn't able to sleep. I don't remember what it was. I asked him if I could take a sleeping pill on Shabbos night, and he said, if you don't take a sleeping pill, you're going to be sick all day, and then you're going to be sick the next day. You have to prevent that. So he was makel on that. But the Rav Asher Weiss would say the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. It's not a medicine. It's not healing anything. It's just maintaining a status quo. You're supposed to sleep at night. The pills just help you get there. There are other forms of sleeping pills, by the way. You don't always have to take a pill. There's an author in Eretz Yisrael who wrote a long academic book, and I couldn't find it in bookstores, but I was in touch with the author personally. So he, very, very kind of him, he sent me a PDF of the book. It was a big, fat, I ended up finding it in a store and buying it for $1 million. Academic books are always very expensive, very, very expensive. So probably because there's not such an audience. They sell them to libraries, and then they're not so widespread in terms of sales. They sell them for a lot of money. But anyways, so this guy, his name is Kimmy Kaplan. So he wrote to me that he doesn't know if he was a modest guy. He doesn't know if the book is so good, but at least it works as a sleeping pill. At least it works as a sleeping pill. You read this book enough, you fall asleep. So there are a lot of books like that. I can give you recommendations at one point. Friday night, you want to fall asleep. You don't always need a pill. We tell you some good books to read that put you to sleep as well. So what about caffeine pills, the opposite direction? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach here is also quoted as being a machmir about it. That being said, I've heard from Rav Shechter multiple times that caffeine pills are not a problem depending on the situation. You have certain people before Yom Kippur, they start fretting, they start getting nervous. I have coffee every day. If I don't have coffee, I get a big headache, get a migraine. So taking caffeine pills for such a person on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, which is also a form of Shabbos, is problematic because they're healing some headache, some mechesh ba'alma. But personally, I do consume a lot of caffeine. When I don't have caffeine, I don't have a headache. I just fall asleep. I just can't, you know, stay awake. And even with the caffeine, I can't stay awake. But that's why I stand to say shirim. But I tell from the people in the crowd, they have the same issue. So you gotta fall asleep. So if you take the caffeine, you won't fall asleep. It's not healing anything. You're just keeping yourself awake. It's just a boost of energy. But if a person has a situation where they feel sick without their caffeine pills, they have a headache, and they take their medicine, that's a different shiloh. That's a shiloh of medicine already. So caffeine pills might depend oftentimes on the person. There's a nice soft cover pamphlet that I once got. We have these conferences for Abundant with Rav Asher Weiss. We just had one this past Sunday in New York. So 5 years ago, I forget, but a few conferences ago, they gave out, there's always a giveaway, so they gave out a soft cover pamphlet called the Kovetz Zichron Shabsai V'Aryeh. It's a kuntres about refuah b'Shabbos. It was from the Talmidim of Rav Asher Weiss. So there they quote Rav Asher Weiss, and they apply it to birth control pills, to caffeine pills, to sleeping pills, to Ritalin to help someone focus. These aren't healing. These are just maintaining status quo. They also make a very interesting tzushtel, compare it to hand lotion. Hand lotion is problematic on Shabbos for multiple reasons. One of them is that you can't smooth it things, so you can't solve that issue. But let's say it's super liquidy. Let's say it's super, super liquidy, and it's not something that you're smearing. It's just something that goes in your hands, and it makes you feel, it's like oily almost. But it makes you feel good. It's a nice feeling. So is that a problem with refuah, because it's going to heal your hands? So they say no. As long as it's not a medicinal, medicated type of hand lotion, and it's very liquidy, it's not a form of healing, just like Rav Asher Weiss told us in the previous examples. Lastly, my friend I mentioned before, Akiva Willig, he's dealt with multiple times, apparently it's an issue in the Jewish community, of hair loss pills. Taking hair loss pills to prevent hair loss. So you can make different arguments to allow for taking those pills on Shabbos based on everything we said before. But he quotes his father, Mordechai Willig, who is machmir on that halacha as well, that a person shouldn't take the hair loss pills on Shabbos because it's a type of medicine. Again, you could have been makil based on the arguments that we made before, but Willig was machmir about that. The good news is you can take it before and after Shabbos. The good news is also I don't know if they work. So it's not really the biggest deal for people who aren't able to take them any time of the week. Either way, those are some of the klalim, some of the rules. None of this should be halakha l'maisa. Everyone should, first of all, be healthy always and not have to, and be able to sleep at night and not take sleeping pills either. But if it should be halakha l'maisa, the shailas should be asked because we're just discussing principles. We're not discussing the actual practical application. But at least as a starter to know which shailas to ask and what direction they might go in. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.